are some of the names? You know, earlier today, this was being out there. And you just never know what's true and what's not. But it went out there early that even Drew Lock, the quarterback with Missouri, could end up being selected by the Tennessee Titans. And I actually went up to him. He was at this event for some of the top draft picks, Huddle Against Hunger. And I'd asked him if he had heard that, and he had not. But he certainly lit up about the possibility of being a Tennessee Titan. You know, what do you think about Drew Lock? Drew Lock, rather. I loved his performance at Missouri and what he brought to the table with his experiences. What about you? What did you think about Drew Lock's game at Missouri?
No, I think he's great. I think Drew Lock's going to be an NFL starter for a long time. I've seen so many people that have him towards the bottom of the first and maybe even early second, and I just don't get it. I don't understand it, because I think he's a guy that should be the second or third quarterback off the board, probably more likely three. Even if four, I don't think that he should fall past 2025. I think he's got the arm to make all the throws needed in the NFL. I think he's a guy that's more athletic than he gets credit for. He was an elite high school basketball recruit. I think conceptually, his knowledge of football still has room to grow based on what he was asked to do early on in his collegiate career. And I think Derek Dooley helped him a lot with that last year. So I like Drew Lock a lot. I think Drew Lock's a guy that can be a longtime NFL starter, and I'll be shocked if he's there past 20.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation with these mock drafts that, you know, maybe Denver will go after him, but I don't see that happening either. But if he does fall and he's there when the Titans are selecting, you know, first of all, he comes off well if you're talking with him and interviewing him. And you can see why, if you're in the huddle and there's 10 other guys looking at him, you could see why they would follow him.
No, absolutely. And he has those leadership qualities. I think it helps him that he's played in multiple systems. Helps him that he's played in the SEC, played against elite defenses. And, you know, one of the knocks on him is that he feasted on lower-tier competition, but he's had some good games against big competition as well. So I'm a big fan of Drew Lock.
Some of the other individuals that could hear their names out there. Another person I talked with earlier today, too, Josh Allen. And I love watching him play with Kentucky. Here's an individual. Certainly, he believes in his abilities, but he's very humble about it. And that was one of the things I noticed, too, by most. I mean, we're talking about most of the guys are out there at Nissan Stadium earlier today. 20 players or so will be the ones getting their names called in that first round. And, you know, as a collective group, and they all alluded to this too, just really good guys. You know, most of these players have checked their egos at the door. They believe in their abilities, looking forward to this next step in their lives. But at the same time, they're kind of, you talk to them and they seem like they would be incredible representatives for whichever teams draft them.
Well, Josh Allen has to be towards the top of that list. Just an amazing young man. I've had a chance to be around him a lot the last few years there covering Kentucky games. And someone who is mature, he's got a little baby, and I think really looked at how he morphed his career and how he sort of morphed what kind of player he was going to be. You know, it's impressive. He obviously has pass rush ability. He's got size. He's got length. He's got great flexibility. But he's got good coverage ability as well, and not a lot of people give him much credit for that. But when you are able to spend time with him and see what kind of kid he is and see what kind of guy he is and the maturity that he has, I think that's where he'll win a lot of scouts over.
One of the other things that stood out of in visiting with Josh Allen is the fact that, you know, as I mentioned earlier, he believes in his abilities, but he also knows he has a lot to learn, and he's looking forward to attaching himself. You know, he mentioned that if for some reason the Titans draft him, if he happens to be around or if they move up or whatever, he's already throwing out the name of Wesley Woodyard, for example, who's a UK product. But it just shows me that here's somebody who believes in himself, but he also understands he has a lot of learning to do.
Well, and I think he went through multiple defensive coordinators at Kentucky. He kind of changed positions a little bit, was asked to do different things in different schemes. And I think he really began to take his role as a pass rusher very serious last year. And you saw it pay off. He began to work on more moves. He began to understand he's not just going to get away with a speed rush and not just going to be able to get away without athleting the guys in front of him. And he took a big jump. The most impressive part of his game is probably how dominant he is late in games. You go back and watch him. He had a strip sack against Felipe Franks when they beat Florida last year. Strip sack against Kyle Shermer to sort of close that game out. He had a sack against Jake Bentley to sort of end the South Carolina game. He was pressuring Nick Fitzgerald on their final drive of the game. I mean, he has been a guy who has been dominant late in games, and that has to make you feel great about what he's going to bring to the table. Somebody who thrives in the fourth quarter, thrives in pressure situations, and seems to have a knack for making big plays when your team really needs them, that's the kind of guy you want on your team.
Hey, let's talk about offensive weapons. Certainly the Titans, you know, one of the positions they need help, wide receiver. A couple of guys that stand out for me, DK Metcalf, first of all, the wide receiver from Ole Miss. When you just look at his size and his weight, because he's automatically going to be certainly bigger than most DBs that are covering him, and the fact he's fast like that too. And it's interesting, he's on that list, could either be all-star or bust. And then another possibility, and you know, somebody who's been hampered with you know, injuries, but Hollywood Brown, the wide receiver from Oklahoma. Your thoughts on those two guys?
Yeah, I think Hollywood Brown's more of the explosive guy. Marquise Brown's he's just gonna be able to take the top off of defense, and I think he can give you explosive plays on quick throws, on easy throws. But I don't know if the durability is a big question with him, because I think it was just really kind of one injury that bothered him late last year, and it just cost him time. But with DK Metcalf, I think the injury history has to be a huge concern. I look at DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown, the Ole Miss teammates, both wide receivers coming out. And I look at DK Metcalf as you're buying a lottery pick, or you're buying a lottery ticket. And I think, yes, the ceiling is high. Yes, there is a chance that you're going to get something special. There's a chance that you're going to get a gigantic return, but there's a chance that you don't get much back. And I think on the opposite end of that, you look at A.J. Brown, and I think you're buying a 15-year CD if you're buying A.J. Brown, because I think he is going to give you a return on that investment, and I think he's going to give you a long-term return on that investment. So I'm a big fan of A.J. Brown in this spot, maybe not as early as some people have D.K. Metcalf coming off the board, but just as far as which receiver I like kind of early, because I think he's going to have an Anquan Boldin, Hines Ward-type career in the NFL. DK Metcalf doesn't give you a lot of route variation. He obviously has all the measurables. He has, you know, crazy freak show combine numbers, but he's got 2 100-yard receiving games against Power 5 opponents in his career, two. He's done it twice, once against Arkansas, once against Cincinnati. California, excuse me, not Cincinnati. So I just – the lack of production, the injuries would make it nerve-wracking for me to take him in the top 10, top 15.
You know, it's interesting, depending on where you look, the top two running backs in this draft are both from Alabama, starting with Josh Jacobs, and there's Damian Harris as well. You know, there's a major plus here, especially if you believe in both of those guys and you believe in their abilities, but the fact that they shared the duty, wasn't just one guy carrying the load for one particular team for 2 or 3 years. At Alabama, you had several guys being able to pull that off. You know, your thoughts about Josh Jacobs and Damian Harris. From an interview standpoint, I love Damian Harris. I love what he can, what he means as far as on the field and off the field. But, you know, just from a pure talent standpoint, your thoughts on Jacobs at the next level?
I think he's good. I think he fits right into where the NFL is going. You want running backs to be able to do different things, flex out, catch the ball out of the backfield, make guys miss. I mean, you think about, obviously, some of the smaller backs that are now having success in the league, and I think Josh Jacobs fits that mold. Is he overly durable? No, he's got a little bit of injury history, but he's very explosive. He can change direction quickly. He catches the ball well out of the backfield. He can get to full speed very quickly. Those are things that the league wants and the league values. And most systems are going to be a two-back system now, so durability is not that big of an issue. I mean, you look at Alvin Kamara in New Orleans and what he's been able to do and the kind of success that he's been able to have. You know, I think that mold is going to become more and more popular for more teams.
You know, there's one player, I don't know about you, but there's some Sundays when you're watching an NFL game and you're watching this player, it's like, oh, now where did he play college football? Because, you know, if you're even in the SEC footprint, there's some individuals that, for whatever reason, you forgot they play for particular schools. There's one guy that kind of stands out for me, and then we know him here in SEC country, but probably across the land, they won't know much about where he played his college ball. But somebody who I think has an opportunity to have a lengthy career as a standout for a particular team's defense, and that's Devin White, the linebacker from LSU.
Well, Devin White's going to give you production. And there's no question there. And I think the only reason you're not talking about him in the top five, top ten more often is there's just that position is not as valuable as it once was. You need guys who can impact the pocket, who can affect the quarterback. And now you got interior defensive linemen that are doing that as well as guys off the edge. But we know the guys off the edge are still going to be valuable. That's why you see Bosa, you see Allen, and you see different guys up there towards the top of this draft that are going to come off early. But Devin White is somebody who – I don't think he's a liability in coverage. That's not his strength, but he is a sideline-to-sideline thumper. He is a guy who's going to make plays. There's never going to be physicality that gives him problems, and I think he'll be an ultra-productive linebacker at the next level.
We don't know where they will be selected, Cole, but as a former center in the SEC, I'd like to get your thoughts on these two guys and what they could possibly mean to the teams that select them. Jared Stidham from Auburn, and the other one is Kyle Shermer here from Vanderbilt.
I think Kyle Shermer probably comes off the board late. He's going to make an NFL team. I think he'll be on a roster, maybe practice squad for a year or two, and still have a chance to grow a little bit more. But somebody who I could see taking a roster spot for a long time. And Stidham's sort of the same way. I think Stidham, because of just how nice of a ball that he throws, his accuracy, I think he's probably a late third, early fourth round guy, maybe middle of the fourth. And you know, he's someone you bring in, plan to back up for a couple of years, and then maybe have a chance to be the starter one day. Maybe he's a guy that another team believes can be a starter one day, and you're able to get a pick or two back for him. So I think Stidham will be a starter in the league one day. I don't think he's going to be, you know, one of the better quarterbacks in the league that we've ever seen, but I think he can be a regular starter in the NFL. He throws that nice of a ball, and he understands the game that well. Durability, a little bit of a question. How he handles himself under pressure, a little bit of a question, but I think Stidham will end up starting in the NFL.
You know, somebody that had to go up against a lot of defensive fronts out there in this particular draft, too, it's very deep, very rich. And I was throwing out, too, if you're, you know, in the high teens, early 20s in the draft and you need help as far as defensive front, instead of taking the eighth or ninth best at that point, because I expect a major run if you're looking for, you know, help as far as pass rush, might as well wait to the second round and go with a different direction as far as with your pick in the first round and address another need. But with that said, certainly one of the reasons why Clemson had the success that they enjoyed, especially over the last 3 years, it starts with that defensive front as well. You know, talk about what they bring to the table, because we're expecting two, three of those Clemson defensive linemen being selected as far as tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think with Dexter Lawrence, you get a guy who gives you defensive tackle, roadblock size, boulder, two-gap, eat-up offensive lineman size, but he actually gives you a little bit more quickness than most guys do there. He gives you more agility, but brings a ton of power. I think with Christian Wilkins, you get a guy who's flexible, who's durable. He can move around. He can play out wide in a 4-3 defensive end scheme. He can go down inside in a 4-3. He can play over the nose in a 3-4. He could be a 3-4 defensive end. His versatility is what will make him valuable. He can play a lot of different spots. And it's a pretty good interior pass rusher. Cleveland Farrell's your prototypical 4-3 defensive end and a guy who's going to be able to attack the edge, utilize his length to be a problem off the edge. You saw him frustrate Jonah Williams in the national championship game, who I thought was the best tackle in college football a season ago. He's going to be a big-time pass rusher at the next level because he has all the skills and all the tools and all the measurables.
Do you like a player who has gone through some adversity? I was visiting with Brian Burns earlier today, the defensive end from Florida State, and it wasn't always rosy there at FSU during his career, especially this past season where they end that long streak of winning seasons, being bowl eligible. Do you like that? I mean, do you feel like that can help a player as they make that transition to the next level? Because, you know, in so many cases, we're talking about teams, most likely, there's some players that will experience more losses in their first year in the NFL than they probably did their entire college career, for example.
No, it's a good point. And I think you're going to face adversity as an athlete, as a player, at any level, really. And so how you deal with that, how you manage that, I think just, you know, obviously it determines and helps show what kind of a person you are. But I think what kind of person you are shows how you're going to deal with things as a professional. And not everything goes according to plan. It's kind of like what Mike Tyson always said. Everybody's got a plan until you get hit in the face.
Right.
And I think how you adapt, how you adjust, how you do different things once that plan breaks down and doesn't go your way says a lot about how successful you're going to be able to be.